Well, I'm back up here waiting for Andy to show up sometime here. He's in Utah. I don't know if you know that. He's on vacation. But his oldest son, Samuel, got COVID on that trip. So keep them in prayer. They're in kind of the quarantine mode. But he did assure me that Lisa was going to get a Mother's Day dinner today. So they found a place they could go. So it's my privilege to introduce a speaker for the day. Rick Stacy and his wife Becky came with him as well. Thank you for coming and sharing God's Word this morning with us. Rick is a son of Paul and Betty Stacy, which was the ministers here in Kalkaska Church of Christ downtown in the mid-50s to almost in the mid-60s, which was my era of life growing up as a child. And it was his father that baptized me. I was 9 years old, going on 10, and 2 months later they left. So I don't know that many thing, good or bad. I think maybe he wanted to get one more Babcock baptized before he left. And but great father and mother, a great example that I know influenced my parents, influencing me to continue to be in a church and to be in a ministry or be in some sort. And I thank them and their family for that. Rick, when they moved out sometime around 1966, they went to Escanaba, went north, and started a church. And later in his life, he went to Great Lakes Bible College, which is Christian College in Lansing, graduated there. And then he went on to Kentucky Christian University for a Master's of Practical Ministries. He currently is a senior minister at the DeWitt Christian Church in DeWitt, Michigan, and serves there and ministers there. And I'm glad that they could give him up for the day. So, Rick, why don't you come on up?
Well, thank you. It's good to be back in Kalkaska. I did grow up here, and it was mostly good years. There were some tough times. But as I was thinking about this message today and speaking to you, the thought occurred to me that you probably have seen this happen, where a duck is walking down the road, a mother duck is walking down the road, and behind that duck is a whole trail of little cute baby ducklings. And that happened recently in Meridian Township, where I live. But the mother duck was a little bit, preoccupied or something. She was walking down the road, and then she walked across the road. All the traffic stopped because it was cute. And as it walked across the road, she walked across a storm sewer. Yeah. And the ducklings came along behind her, and she walked across the storm sewer just fine. The grate wasn't a problem to her, but to the ducklings, it was a problem. They fell down in the grate. One right after another, plop, 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 just like alcohol seltzer, they went right down, and then they fizzed. But anyway, they went right down there, and that was really cute. I mean, it was cute up to that point. And all the cars had stopped, and they saw it happen. Tried to, honk, did whatever, just went right down in. The police officer that was there happened to be along. He called the Public Works Department. They came over. They pulled the grate up, and the police officer reached down and saved the ducklings. And everybody was thrilled. And it made them papers. It was a big deal. And I thought, well, that's a great illustration of a mother's influence, or maybe not so great. But anyways, I was doing some research, and what I found out is that happens all the time. I mean, all the time. Mother ducks are leading their ducklings, and they don't pay attention. They fall right in the grate. It happens in story after story after story, which made me think that, maybe mother ducks are kind of dumb. I don't know. But the point that I wanted to make with that story is that mothers have a tremendous amount of influence. You really do. And your kids will follow you. And where we're going to go with this message today is very simple. You can be successful in influencing your kids in any number of areas. They can be successful in school. You can do a good job of training them up to for a career or in sports. I don't know about Kalkaska, but in DeWitt, boy, everybody's into sports. It's constant. Just want to get our kids in all kinds of sports. And even in marriage, you can train them up in marriage. And if you fail in one other area we're going to talk about today, and that's faith, you failed. Your ducks have plopped into the sewer grate. We need to understand the significance, the influence that a mom has and a grandmother has. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do that, it is Mother's Day, and I thought I would share with you 10 things my mother taught me, and most of them while I was here in Kalkaska. One of the things that my mother taught me was to pray. I remember distinctly when she said this to me. She said, "You better pray that I can get the stain out of that shirt." What happened was this. When we lived here, we were at the old church downtown, and my dad was the preacher, so I got to play there. And I was in the church, and in the old building, the back of the old building, it was way back. It was an old house kind of that was attached to the building. That was where the kitchen was, and I was in the kitchen, and I was exploring, and I found some grape juice in the refrigerator. You know what it was for. It was for communion, but I was thirsty. So I opened up the jar, and I started to drink, and then somebody started coming down the hall. I turned my head before I lowered the jar, and grape juice all down the front of my shirt. So I immediately put the lid back on, put it back in the refrigerator, ran home two blocks, because we lived in Doc Hodgman's house. That was my house. Up the steps to the right, the first bedroom was mine. And I ran in the back door. I took my shirt off. I threw it in the laundry. Ran upstairs. Got my shirt on and thought I was home free, which tells you how bright I was. Because my mom found the other shirt in the laundry. And that's when she held it up and she said, "You better learn to pray." She taught me that. She taught me logic. I don't know how many times she said to me, "Because I said so." Now, psychologists will tell you today that's a horrible thing to say to your child. It was very effective. And I learned, you can't refute it. It's logical, because I said so. And I have learned to say that to my own children. She taught me not only logic, she taught me flexibility. I remember coming home and she'd say, "Look at the dirt on your collar." And I'd try to look. So I learned flexibility. She said stamina. At supper time, we'd sit at the table and she'd say, "You're going to sit there until the spinach is gone." And I would tough that out. She also said that I had to finish the liver and onions. I hate liver and onions. But she did allow us to put ketchup on it. So it was okay. She taught me not only stamina, she taught me also to be careful. Now, some of you know my mom. Her name was Betty Stacy. My dad was Paul Stacy. And my mom was something special. She was very loving and kind, but there were times. Growing up in Kalkaska, being the preacher's kid in town, it was tough, all right? I just got to tell you, it was tough. Everybody in town thought that they had to prove how tough they were by beating up the preacher's kid. So I got in lots of fist fights, and I lost every one of them. And I would come home bleeding and torn up. And I remember coming home one day, opening up the front door, walking in, blood pouring down out of my nose. And my mom said, and this is a quote, "Don't bleed on the carpet." My loving, gracious, compassionate mother. So I learned to be careful. I learned about pride. She taught me about hubris. She would do this. She would sit us down And she would say, I want to tell you something that's important. And we would have to sit there and listen, and she would pour out some life lesson. And I remember her doing this with us, and she said, put your finger in, and she actually had a bucket of water, and she set it there. She says, put your finger in there. I said, okay. So I put my finger in it. She says, now pull it out. I pulled it out. She said, do you see the hole in it? No. She said, when you are a preacher and you go to a church and you think you're big stuff and you leave that church and go away from it, remember this. Because when you leave, the hole you leave is the same hole that is left in the water when you pull your finger out. Got it, Mom. Okay. So I learned about pride. I learned about wisdom. I remember one occasion where I was the oldest child. And so when we got home from vacation, I had to help unload the car. And being a child, I didn't want to spend a lot of time doing that. I wanted to get out and play. So I would carry everything I could. I packages in both arms, stuff over my shoulders, and I'm walking in like this. And Mom said, don't carry the lazy man's load. And I said, lazy man, I'm working my tail off here. What are you talking about? She said, put them down and carry two or three loads. Trying to do it one load is the lazy man's load. Don't do that. You're an idiot. She taught me wisdom. She taught me about finances. I have this to this day. I wish I'd brought it with me. I'd show it to you. I have a little yellow jar, a ceramic jar. And it's got a piece of tape on the side that says Ricky. It was my jar. I was Ricky back then. I'm not anymore, by the way. I'm Rick. I was Ricky. And every Saturday morning, she would put my allowance in that jar. 50 cents. I know it doesn't sound like much now, but we could go to the theater downtown. And they had a theater back then downtown. We could go for a quarter. Sometimes 15 cents to a Saturday matinee. So every Saturday morning, she'd put 50 cents in that car, in that jar. And it would be in this denomination, a quarter, two dimes, and a nickel. Not two quarters, not a 50 cent piece, a quarter, two dimes, and a nickel. Because on Sunday morning, when we got up, she'd say, now go to your allowance jar and get out 10% and give that to God at Sunday school. So every Sunday morning, I had to take 5 cents, and I had to take that to Sunday school. And that's where she taught me about finances and about giving. Actually, I got tied up with that. She taught me about giving in that one. Actually, finances, what she taught me was something else. I got this backwards, so let me explain it now. Paula and I, my sister Paula, she's a year younger than me, and she's a first child wannabe. Okay? She was always bossy, trying to tell me what to do. My mom sat us down at a table, one of those life lessons, you know, and she put down a nickel and a dime. And she said, now, you each get one of these. And then she said, ladies first. And I was so ticked, because I wanted the big one. And my sister, she took the nickel. And I was really unhappy about that until I found out that the dime was worth twice as much and I could buy twice as much as candy. So I learned about giving. I learned about finances. All of that from my mother. I also learned about responsibility. And this one I remember very distinctly. I was much older. I was a senior in high school. I was up in Escanaba. And I had just prepared to go. In fact, I believe this happened the night before I was going to get in the car and drive from Escanaba to Lansing to go to Great Lakes Bible College. And my mom sat me down. I knew I was in for it. You know, here was the life lesson. She sat me down and she says, now I want you to know, I love you. I love you dearly. But you understand that when you go to college, you're going to college. If you come back, home and you're not in college, you will pay rent. And I said, okay, Mom. In my head, I'm thinking, I'm not coming home. Are you crazy? If I'm going to pay rent, it's not going to be to you. I never did go home and pay rent. But I learned all of that from my mother. She was a resetting influence in my life in so many ways. But these things that they teach us, our mothers, our life lessons that are good. But again, what's really, really important is teaching the one thing that you have to have to be successful in life truly, and that's faith. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, get back here, chapter 1 and verse 5, there's a passage of Scripture that's very, very important. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Now, this is Paul. He's writing a letter, a second letter, to a young man named Timothy, who's a preacher in a church. And this young man has become important to Paul because he has passed on to him his legacy in his life. And he's reminding Timothy of where he got his faith from. He says, you received your faith from your grandmother Lois and from your mother Eunice. It is so important that you recognize, if you're a mom here today, if you're a grandmother here today, understand this, moms, grandmothers, you're never done. Even when they're grown up, you're not done. Because you still love them, you still care about them. Now, it's true for fathers and grandfathers as well, but this is Mother's Day, so we're going to dwell on the moms here, all right? And Paul wrote here to Lois and to Eunice about them. And he points out that they make the difference. In 1995, a man by the name of Dave Thomas wrote his autobiography. You probably know Dave Thomas. He was actually on commercials on television for a number of years. He's the one that started the Wendy's restaurants. And Dave Thomas, in 1995, in his autobiography, wrote this about himself. When he was 11 years old, he traveled to Gull Lake, Michigan, where his grandmother lived, and who taught him about the Lord. And it was because of that grandmother and his mother in his life, the influence of life, that he was baptized at age 11 in Gull Lake, Michigan. And he says, and this is a direct quote from him in that autobiography, my grandmother made it happen. You make it happen. You make a difference in their lives. You bring them faith, but not just faith, sincere faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. It's not just a vague kind of, oh yeah, I know there's a God. You know, Peter tells us that Satan believes, but that doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of a general, yeah, I'm aware. But we're talking about a sincere faith, a faith that comes, that is caught more than taught because of the influence in Timothy's life of a mother and a grandmother. It makes a huge difference. I know that my mother and my grandmother were instrumental in my lives. My mother was Betty Stacy. My grandmother was Eoa Grubbs, E-O-A, three vowels. She hated it. But that was her name. And when I was in high school, from the sophomore year through the senior year, I worked every summer as the dishwasher at Rock Lake Christian Assembly, where my grandfather, Lowell Grubbs, was the camp manager. I got the job through nepotism. Okay? It was not by skill. So I was the dishwasher all summer long for 3 years in a row. I told everybody I was the aquatic engineer. And I got to be down there. I was away from my family, but my grandmother was right there, Eoa. And she was instrumental in my life. I remember some events during those times that are very distinct. One of the times that I remember very, very much is on a Saturday. The kids had gone home on Friday night. Saturday morning, we had mopped the dining hall. We had put away all the dishes. We'd cleaned up everything. And by Saturday afternoon, we were pretty much done with all the work around the camp, and we had the day off. And I went down to Vesper Point. Now, if you've ever been to Rock Lake Christian Assembly, it has been there over 100 years. It has tremendous influence in the lives of literally thousands of people. Vesper Point is just a little spit of land that sticks out into Rock Lake. And Rock Lake is nothing big. Just a little bit, not much bigger than Log Lake. It's just a little spit of land that stuck out into the lake. And yet there's something holy about that piece of land. When I was a kid, along the sides of the hill, there were benches. And at the bottom of the hill, there was a little kind of a shanty, lean-to kind of a thing where the piano was and where the song leader was and where the preacher was. And we would have vesper services every night just before campfire. And it was just a very special place. In fact, if you know of Our God is an Awesome God, that song that was written by Rich Mullins, he wrote that song on Vesper Point in Rock Lake. Something holy about that ground. And I remember on that Saturday that I went down to Vesper Point and I sat on top of a picnic table for 3 hours. It felt like a heartbeat. And me and God had a long talk. And I got to know Him very, very well. That didn't come because someone taught me stuff. It's because my mother and my grandmother had an influence in my life and I caught that sincere faith. Now, the funny thing about this text in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 5 is that it doesn't tell us how they did it. And I can't tell you today how you do it. But I can tell you today what my mom did. And there was at least 5 things, and I want to share those with you this morning. First of all, what she shared with me was Bible stories. Now, my grandmother was part of this because my grandmother actually, I think she's actually the one that purchased them. They had a 10-volume set of Bible stories. And I wish I could find it and actually show you them. I've run into them at different times, but it was a big kind of a 8.5 by 11 book, hardcover book, 10 of those filled with Bible stories. It was not a children's Bible. It was just a book with the Bible stories in it. And every night before we went to bed, my mom would get out one of those volumes and read us one of those stories. And then, she was so slick. She would lay that down on the dresser, turn off the switch after we had prayers together, and then she would leave. And then after it was quiet for a while, I would turn on the light and I'd get that book out and I'd read some more. Sometimes till 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Because I love those Bible stories. And I'll tell you what, I got to know those characters just about as well as I know any set of characters that there are. I got to know who Balaam was and his donkey. I love that story. And I got to know about Jael and her tent peg. I love that story. And Samson and his jawbone of an ass, which he killed 1,000 Philistines. I love that story. It was a great story. I read all those stories because my mom, she put them in front of me. She influenced them. She taught me. And I learned from her. She also taught me about prayer. She prayed for me and with me. Every night before we went together to bed, we would pray. Every time we sat at a meal, we would pray. And sometimes, and I hated this, and I have grown to love it, but we would sit at the meal, and we were not allowed to leave the table unless we were excused. If you tried to get up and leave, my mom would say, "Sit back down. You haven't been excused." "Okay, Mom. Can I be excused?" "No." "Well, how come?" "Well, we're going to talk." And then we would talk. And there would be times that every pickle off the table had been eaten. Every carrot stick was gone. There wasn't any more food. We would just sit there. We'd go for an hour sometimes and just talk. And then she'd say, "Now we need to pray about these things." "Okay." And I learned to pray. And my mom was a prayer warrior. And I learned from that, not only in those days, but through her life. She had lists. She had multiple lists of people to pray for. And she prayed for people all the time. When my mother passed away on Easter Sunday in 2011. And it's funny that the Sunday before, I remember we went over to her house and to talk with her, and she looked up and she said, "This is Palm Sunday, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Next Sunday's Easter Sunday." "Yeah." She said, "Okay." I know she was deciding that she was going to go home on Easter Sunday. I know what she was doing. She probably made a list. And at 6 p.m. on Easter Sunday, with all the family gathered around her, I was reading Psalms 100. She went home. I got to tell you, about 2 or 3 weeks before then, we had gathered at home with her. And she had had, I think, 7 or 8 cancers. And she'd beaten every one of them until the last one. It was a melanoma. It was on her leg. She couldn't fight it. And she got tired. And I remember we had gone over to be with her that night. And she said, "I'm just too tired to stay up. Can you put me to bed? Can you tuck me in and pray with me?" And so we did. We took her in the bedroom and we prayed with her. And what happened was so unexpected. We put her in bed. We tucked her in. She closed her eyes and then she said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And then she started praying for people and situations. She prayed for me. She prayed for my wife. She prayed for all the people on all the lists. And then she said, "Amen." And then she opened her eyes and we just stood there. And said, I was taught by my mother to pray that prayer every night. And I have since I was a child. And now I'm going to go home. And I just pray that I finish well. She finished well, folks. She taught me how to pray. She taught me also how to be involved in ministry. You know, one of the things I really appreciate about this church? You guys care about the community. And it shows in so many ways. And it has been like that for years. When I was a kid growing up here, we had a project at that time. I don't know if it had a name or not, but we would go around. My mother would set me out with a little red wagon up and down our street, Cherry Street. And she'd say, "You knock on every door and you ask for any broken toys that they have." And we would collect all the broken toys, all the worn out toys, all the used toys that we could. We'd take them down to the church. I'd drag my little red wagon full of toys down to the church, and then we would fix them, and we would paint them, and we would package them, and then we would wrap them, and then a few days before Christmas, we would take them all through the community, and we'd give them to kids that didn't have the ability to get toys. And I learned about ministry. My mother taught me to knock on doors and ask for help, to get involved. My mother taught me that. She taught me how to give. Now, I already told you about my allowance jar. But she wanted me to understand that giving was so much more than just having to do the tithe. It was about really caring and supporting in ministry. When we went to camp as kids, we went to Rock Lake Christian Assembly. And I remember the best part about camp was canteen. Because we got to buy candy every day. I didn't get to do that at home. But in camp, every day, I got to buy soda pop and candy bars. And when we would go to camp, we'd go to Sunday afternoon, and we'd get to camp and get all in the dorms, and our mom would make the bed for me and get it set up. It was made once. It was never made the rest of the week. But we would get it all set up, and I got to tell you, one kid went to camp and wore the same clothes all week. And he said, "Didn't your mom bring it?" He never opened the suitcase. He just wore the same clothes. It was not me, but anyway, when we went to camp, she would give us $1.25 for the week. 25 cents for every day to go to canteen. Now some of you are looking at me like, that's not enough. Well, it was back then, all right? I could buy a soda pop for a dime and a big candy bar for a nickel. I'm talking about a big candy bar. I went to the store the other day, the gas station, and bought two candy bars. It was $4.17. That is wrong. But I could buy a big candy bar for a nickel. And what she says, you got 25 cents for every day. But now you understand, there's going to be a missionary, and you need to give some of this money to the missionary every day. So every day I took a dime out of that quarter and I gave that to the missions. And I got my soda pop and I got my candy bar, but that was it. And some days the missionary was really good and I thought, you know what? I can live without the candy bar. And I just had soda pop. My mom taught me that. Because she taught me faith by modeling her life. It was in front of me every day in so many different ways. She lived it out. I heard a story about four preachers that were arguing about the best translation. One guy says, it's King James, without a doubt. The King James Version has been with us for years. It is beautiful. It's filled with prose. It's wonderful. The language is unbeatable. The King James Version is the best version. Second guy said, I love the New International Version. It is so concise. It is so sharp. It is so contemporary. It is really the best version. And the next guy said, No. The New English Standard Version, that's far better because it's crisp, it's clear, it's right. And the fourth guy said, my mama's translation is the best. And they looked at him and they said, your mama made a translation of the Bible? He said, yeah, every day. She lived it. That's what you got to do. It's not just go to church on Sunday. It's living for the Lord every day. Because faith that is sincere is not taught. It is caught. One of the key presidents of the United States that made a difference is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, brought our country through a terrible time. And he was a man of faith. His mother, Nancy Lincoln, died when he was a young man. And he recounts and tells how that when he was a young man, his mother called him to her bedside and said to him these words, Abraham, I'm going home. I'm not coming back. Be a good boy. Love God and obey His commandments. And Abraham promised her he would. And later in life, as he thought about his life, he said, I have kept that promise. That's the resetting influence of a mom. That's the resetting influence of a grandma. It makes a tremendous difference. I want you to understand that you're never done, and the work is precious and powerful and important to pass to your children. Sincere faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your house. It's a holy place, not because the ground is holy, but because we're here. And we're your children, and you have sanctified us and made us holy. Now, as we consider the work of our hands and the mission of our lives, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to live for you every day, moment by moment, hour by hour. Thank you for the mothers that have made a difference in our lives. Thank you for us being able to pick up and to carry on that work. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.